So it's local news and features. We have four more news stories. It's myself, Tim and Uta. And we're going to read the headlines for you and then we'll give you the four stories. So the headlines for me are Stokey Posty Steve makes Potters of History and Staffordshire Crooked House Pub now an environmental disaster after demolition. And Uta's headlines are...
Well, I will read about John Caldwell's new flats in London, $200 million each they will cost, and Royal Stoke patient experience rated highly in latest survey.
Wonderful stuff. So I'm going to kick off with the first story. So Stokey Posty Steve makes Potters Off history. The Potters Off is just round the corner. Well, it's actually been, hasn't it? So we spoke to a Stokey postman who ran every single Potters Off and the former Potteries Marathon up to 2005, every year since it started in 1982. Steve Tuck, 62, has a lifetime experience of running and doesn't even need to train anymore as his body's just so used to it. As well as marathons and half marathons and Stoke-on-Trent, the Kidsgrove runner has also completed in marathons all over the globe and has raised thousands of pounds for charities in the milestones. He has mainly fundraised for charities in the six towns, but has also raised money for the likes of Dougie Mack, the RSPCA and the British Heart Foundation. The former Maryhill pupil was the youngest person in the 7-Up Club, which was a running group founded by Don Shalley many moons ago. Now Steve walks his dogs to keep up his fitness and says it's not a race, it's a matter of getting around it these days. The granddad said, "The wife entered me to run in Potters Off again. I've always loved running from when I was a kid, and I used to be on the running team years ago, but that stopped over the years because I was the youngest in the 7-Up Club when I started, and now I'm 62. Everyone who'd run 7 marathons would get a t-shirt. I've got a lifetime experience of running, but I haven't trained in 7 years. Experience gets me round. I do more walking than anything else because I walk the dog every day. This will be my 41st one because they stopped it during COVID. I've done marathons around the world, including London Marathon to race, but it was for fun. So I didn't do it during the actual marathons. I've also ran in Beijing, San Francisco and Las Vegas. I also used to go up and do the Great North Run with Biddulph Running Club. I raise money for local charities in Stoke-on-Trent. Sometimes I turn up in fancy dress and do it and make a weekend of it. Then I bring the money back to Stoke for the charities. We choose a different one every year, including fundraisers for children who had had illnesses and things like that. I'll probably be full of aches and pains, but I'll get around. It's not a race, it's a matter of getting around and enjoying it. People have always been fantastic over the years. There's always a crowd, even when it's raining." So over to Uta, who's going to do the next story for us in batch number 4.
Well, I think for some people it has to rain money, because John Caldwell's new £200 million flats would buy you 1,389 average Stoke-on-Trent houses. Do the math. Stoke-on-Trent's self-made billionaire John Caldwell hopes 3 flats he's building in one of London's poshest postcodes will sell for £200 million each. The 71-year-old comes from humble beginnings, growing up in Shelton and Bentleigh before making his fortune with Phones for You. He now concentrates on his charity work and international property development empire. And one of his biggest projects is building 29 homes at 1 Mayfair, around the corner from where he lives when he's not at his mansion near Eccleshall. The development will include 3 penthouses with a £200 million asking price each. The other properties, built on what was once home to a petrol station, car park and apart hotel, will start from only £35 million. If successful, this would make the apartments significantly pricier than any such home in British property history. In fact, £200 million for one flat would buy a staggering 1,389 houses in his home city of Stoke-on-Trent, where an average property costs £144,000. Despite the hefty price tag, John told The Times that 450 parties have already expressed an interest in the 29 properties. Each residence will have ultra-luxurious interior flourishes galore, and the development will include a crystal gallery modelled on the Hall of Mirrors in the Palace of Versailles. Speaking about the development, John told The Times, "Everything about this building will be timeless. Timeless architecture, timeless quality, and timeless built structure. There's no reason at all why it can't be there in 500 years' time. You've got probably 6,000 billionaires in the world, and we don't need a big percentage of those people. And a huge number that are worth more than 10 billion pounds. You know, they can afford it. To some of those people, I mean, it sounds a bit blasé, it's small change. I mean, in a way, that's the sadness of the world, you know, because there's so much devastation and then so much extreme wealth. But there is that extreme wealth, and people will want the very, very best. It was all made possible from John's gamble on mobile phones in the 1980s. With his brother Brian in 1987, John registered Midland Mobile Phones as a mobile phone wholesaler, taking 26 Motorola mobiles at £1,350 each. It took 8 months to sell all 26 phones to plumbers, taxi drivers and television repairmen at a price of £2,000 each. The company made a loss every month for the first 2 years of operation. And in 2003, he sold Singlepoint to Vodafone for £405 million and completed the sale of the wider business 3 years later for £1.46 billion to private equity firms Providence Equity Partners and Dorsey Hansen. He now claims his money weakness to be charity and once even spent £800,000 for 3 days in South Africa with Elton John and David Furnish visiting their own charitable work. So here over to you now, Tim.
Okay, so my final story now in batch number four. Is Staffordshire Crooked House pub now an environmental disaster after demolition? The site of Britain's wonkiest pub has become an environmental disaster after being targeted by fly-tippers dumping mountains of rubbish. The Crooked House in Himley, Staffordshire, was destroyed in a suspect arson attack before being demolished 2 days later in August 2023. Campaigners fighting to get the pub rebuilt say the former location of the historic building has now become a fly-tipping hotspot just over a year on. Shocking photos show how huge piles of household waste have been discarded across the site, including in a nearby stream. Wooden panels, bin bags, canisters, and furniture can all be seen dumped at the entrance of a nearby waste management centre. David Shotton, a member of the Save the Crooked House Let's Get It Rebuilt Facebook page, visited the site last Sunday. He wrote, "Today's visit had no fresh surprises for us yet both. Yet more evidence of further fly tipping and a fresh dumping by the Biffa entrance. Further down the lane, the pilings that hold back the landfill have now finally and completely given up and has allowed the land to surge forward, allowing contaminated soils and debris to navigate through the water stream and brook. I can only describe today's visit as an environmental disaster. The impact this will have on the local wildlife and surrounding areas will no doubt suffer in the long term if nothing is done about it fairly soon." Mr. Shotton and other members of the group said they had reported fly tipping in the area on several other occasions. The demolition of the famous pub sparked a huge uprising by campaigners calling for it to be rebuilt brick by brick. Staffordshire Police made 6 arrests in connection with the incident, but no one has ever been charged, and all suspects have been released on bail. The iconic building, which dates back to 1735, was changed from a farmhouse to a pub in 1830 and was famous for its wonky appearance. It became a well-known tourist attraction due to the mining substance, which caused one side of the building to be approximately 4 feet, 1.2 metres lower than the other. In February, South Staffordshire Council served an enforcement notice ordering the owners to rebuild the iconic pub following its unlawful demolition. The owners have since lodged an appeal and proposed rebuilding the pub in a different location. So over to Utu, who's going to read the final story for us in batch number 4.
And the final story is actually a positive one, because Royal Stoke patient experience is rated highly in latest survey. Hundreds of patients have rated their experience at the Royal Stoke University Hospital highly, according to a latest survey. A total of 444 adults who were inpatients at both the Royal Stoke and County Hospital in November 2023 completed the questionnaire. They rated their overall experience with University Hospitals of North Midlands, UHNM, as 8.3 out of 10, a small increase from 8 the previous year. The answers were analysed by the Care Quality Commission, and the results were published last month in the form of the Adult Inpatient Survey 2023. The survey covered a wide range of topics, such as waiting times, privacy and dignity, cleanliness, the standard of care received, food and drink, staffing levels, and patient discharges. Responses were then converted into scores out of 10 for each question and compared against those from other trusts. There were no questions for which UHNM was rated as worse than other trusts, but it did score better than most in 3 questions relating to not being prevented from sleeping by noise at night from other patients, being given enough information on the care and treatment they would receive on a virtual ward, and expected care and support being available when needed after leaving the hospital. UHNM improved its scores from the previous year in areas including feeling they did not have to wait a long time to get to a bed on a ward, feeling that there were enough nurses on duty to care for them, overall environment of the hospital or ward including cleanliness, noise, quality of food, being given enough information on their condition or treatment, and being treated with respect and dignity. The highest rated question scored 9.6 out of 10 relating to whether patients were given enough privacy when being examined or treated. And a large proportion of the free text comments positively reflected staff, care and treatment. The report also highlighted several areas of improvement for the trust where scores declined compared to last year. These include patients feeling that they waited the right amount of time on the waiting list before being admitted and being able to get help from a member of staff when needed. Anne-Marie Riley, Chief Nursing Officer at UHNM, said, "We are committed to providing the best possible care to all of our patients. So feedback provided via the Adult Inpatient Survey, both positive and negative, will help us learn and enhance patient experience. We are pleased to have seen improvements in a number of areas compared to last year and keen to build on these positives, and we will work with clinical colleagues in areas where we know we can improve." Now, thank you to the hundreds of people who took the time to get involved and have their say, helping us to shape our services for future patients. Nationally, the results show that patient satisfaction levels are largely unchanged since 2022, but remain significantly worse than pre-pandemic. And over to you. That's our end, I think.
Wonderful stuff. So many thanks for listening to the last 4 batches with myself and Uta. Keep listening, because Uta's one and only snippets live from the studio will be coming up very, very shortly.